Radio, CSS Media,
your source for family-centered content.
RadioCSS.com.
And now, Audio Theater Central.
Oh, hi there. I'm John Avery Whittaker. But most folks around here call me Whit.
My name is Finian Jones, and you are...
Hello, I'm Dave Arnold, your host for Focus on the Family Radio Theater.
Hey everybody, I'm JD.
And I'm Roy.
And I'm Andrew. We're your hosts for Audio Theater Central.
Welcome everybody to episode 29.
That's
the one right after episode 28.
Isn't it?
Isn't this such a special occasion?
Yes, it is.
What else are you going to say?
Happy
about
Valentine's Day, everybody.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
It's already passed, guys.
Yeah. Well, happy belated Valentine's Day.
Well, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody will ever be listening to this on Valentine's Day.
True.
Unless it's 2014.
Next year, yeah.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guys, we've got a packed show today. We've got a review of Adventures in Odyssey album 56, The Grand Design. We've got some listener feedback. We've got an announcement coming up. And, of course, we have
a
newscast.
Oh, yes.
Whoa.
A couple of things I wanted to mention first, though. I made a few tweaks to the website, audiotheatercentral.com. You can go to any of our show notes simply by going to audiotheatercentral.com/the episode number. So for this episode, you can go to audiotheatercentral.com/29, take you directly to the show notes. And any previous episode, use that same thing, and you can go directly to the show notes. No long URLs to remember, so thought that would be a little handy thing.
Definitely.
Exactly, because nobody can remember the URL 1KLY4GTCH/ZYX. It gets a little confusing.
Absolutely.
Right.
I'm so confused, I don't even know what I just said.
I don't either. Hey, also wanted to mention to our listener who had been telling us about Paws and Tails. I believe it was Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been checking that series out. It's very good. Found out it's no longer in production, so we probably won't focus too much on the series as we do try to stick to currently produced series. So, but it's very good, so we'll definitely mention some things about it on the blog and things like that. If they ever do pick it up again, we'll definitely start following it. So want to mention that. Also, Kids Corner is another really great series for younger listeners. KidsCorner.net. You can check that out. And by the way, both of these, Kids Corner and Paws and Tails, you can subscribe to an RSS for them for free.
Nice.
So all the episodes are free. So check that out. We'll have links in the show notes. Also, one other thing. As you know, Andrew got married.
Yay! Yes.
We mentioned that last time, but there's a blog post on the website now. You can see a couple of pictures, so check that out. We'll link to that as well.
Congratulations, Andrew.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Everybody, I could give you my address. You could all send me some money. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
But I won't do that because that's not right.
I would encourage that.
It'd be kind of rude.
You ready, Roy?
Sure.
Lifehouse Theater on the Air is about to begin production of their latest drama, Queen Esther. They also have plans for several more enhanced audiobooks, which will be released throughout this year. The Vision Forum team is currently working on Album 9 in the Jonathan Park series, entitled The Whispering Sphinx, which is slated for the release sometime near Memorial Day 2013. The AIO Avery Awards for Album 56, The Grand Design, have been concluded. Click the link in the show notes to get all the info on the winners for each category. That is it for the news this time. I'm Roy, reporting for Audio Theater Central.
Fantastic job, Roy.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Absolutely Thank you. Amazing.
I'd give you a standing ovation, but I'd knock my mic over.
Yes.
So.
Don't do that.
Absolutely amazing. What can I say?
So what do you guys want to talk about?
Let's talk about Odyssey.
The Grand Design album, 56. Well, I was going to say let's do our overall opinions, but let's save that for the end. So let's jump into episode by episode. We don't have a summary for the album.
So Andrew,
but everybody has heard this, so
yeah.
We don't really need to do that, do we?
We don't get to hear Andrew's great voice and great reading skills and whatnot.
Nah. Who needs that? It's just fluff.
Right.
Just takes up time in the podcast.
We're going to try to cover all 12 episodes in less than 55 minutes.
We got this.
So
it'll never happen.
Sorry. Let's jump in. Now, it was released in September 21st, 2012, for the album, or for the download, correct? The download was released first
and then the
which is what we all got.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I think we've mentioned this in the past, but our reviews are always based on the album versions. We don't hear the radio versions because I know they do trim out a little bit, typically, in every album. So, if there are scenes that we mention that you haven't heard, then you probably should buy the album.
Yeah, and I'm sure Odyssey appreciates the plug.
Yes.
Free advertising.
So the first episodes were 7, 15, and 16, which were The Perfect Church Parts 1 and 2. I got to say, I really, really liked this one. And I also want to mention, I don't usually listen or read any other reviews because I just don't want it to affect my opinions. I want to, you know, share what I think unaffected by anybody else's opinion. But I did read some of Ben Warren's reviews at AIO, The Changing Times. Fantastic blog. And most of the time, I do agree with his assessment of the episode. So you definitely should check that website out. We'll have a link to Ben's reviews. But it's been several months since I've read them. So I think that I re-listened to all of the episodes this week. So I think we'll be good to go. But the interesting thing about this one is the Imagination Station immediately drops Matthew right into a predicament. And it kind of reminded me of some of the older IS adventures where the character would turn up in a closet or something like that.
Right.
Yes. I actually thought it was really cool. It was a throwback.
Yeah.
I thought. And I liked that.
It reminded me of the
I have missed the Imagination Station.
Kurt lands in the tree, like in that Imagination Station when he goes back to...
What?
Yeah.
I don't remember
like
that one.
He's like falls in the tree and the dogs are like, you know, is it Benjamin Franklin or whatever?
Could be.
I don't know.
Maybe. I think that was when he fell off the chair.
Oh, that's right. It's not even Imagination. Yeah. It's not even IS.
That was,
that's right.
That
okay.
Was an unconscious.
Oh, that wasn't Kurt either. That was
an unconscious
like
dream adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man. Okay.
But he lands in the water or something, remember? He's like struggling around and Nathan Hale rescues him.
Right.
That was
right.
Master Irwin Springer.
Right.
Right.
Right. That was like from old.
Yeah.
Old.
Long time ago.
Album two.
But there is one where the guy is like, he's in a tree and there's dogs like barking up the tree and anyway, never
probably.
Mind. Yeah.
I mean, we're
fail.
At 700 episodes plus, so.
Fail.
You did not remember correctly.
I didn't remember.
Fail.
Yeah, I know. It's horrible.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I'll go home
it probably
and investigate
happened.
It, and I'm sure you're probably right. So.
But anyway, back to the Imagination Station adventure.
Interesting how Eugene's voice breaks in and kind of gives clarification to some of the things that Matthew doesn't understand, definitions
right.
and stuff like that.
I thought
right.
that was cool.
I thought it was interesting to use Eugene's voice. I thought they would stick with the lady in the first, which
was what was her name? Mabel?
No,
that was for
applesauce. That was a long time ago, too.
I don't know. But I think I like the lady, like, instead of like Eugene's voice. I don't know. I know like in a few of the Imagination Station adventures before, they used like, you know, Witt's voice or Jason's voice, whatever. But I
liked Eugene being in there because he's the one that it seems like programs the adventures and stuff. So it kind of makes sense that his voice would be in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the whole door thing. Like the new stuff. I love it. It's awesome.
See,
like,
that's interesting.
I love it. It's great.
I'm not real big on that.
Yeah. I miss the
sound
whole,
effect
I miss
is
the,
really cool.
Oh, it is awesome. Yeah. I miss the whole, like, when the Imagination Station first takes off.
Yeah.
You know, I miss that part. But the whole, like, walking through a door and, like, the.
But they almost make it sound like he walks through the door and falls.
Right.
Because he's like, oh.
Right, exactly.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, see,
it's still like a rough ride.
I'm
going to
disagree with you guys because I think it sounds ridiculous. It sounds like something's shattering and breaking apart. I mean, that doesn't.
Oh, my.
Shouldn't they just have, like, a door effect or something?
No, because they go through a door and the scene that they're in shatters.
Yes, just explodes
into the next scene.
Okay,
yeah. Like,
that sound that you just made makes more sense than some like a breaking glass.
They didn't have everybody in the scene just like exploding. Then you know, like the whole scene is like.
No. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I really like it.
I do too.
It was cool to have Georgia Dolan's back, played Sue in The Labyrinth.
Okay, it was her voice.
Played Rhoda.
See, I thought it, because I heard it. It's her English voice there. Her natural voice.
Her natural un-English voice.
Yeah, natural un-English voice, yeah. Well, speaking of English voices, no, never mind, we'll get that later.
Is that in this episode, or are you jumping ahead?
Never mind.
What are you even talking about?
I don't know. never mind.
We're talking about biblical times here.
Yeah.
There was no English voices.
But, yeah.
I think it's probably up there in the top biblical adventures for me. What do you think?
It's good.
Mm-hmm.
Because they never actually like went to this. We never been to like Pentecost or anything like
no,
this.
No, it was really cool. I liked the story. I liked the way it was written.
Right.
It was very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the kind of lesson, too. I don't know, nobody's perfect, and the church never was perfect.
Right.
Cool.
I like that. That was good.
Very good. And speaking of the new imagination station, Matthew even says, it's going to take a while getting used to this new imagination station.
True.
So, I agree with him.
Yeah. But has he actually ever been in the old imagination station?
Well, of course he has. We've just never witnessed it.
Yeah.
Ever since he was like 4. Come on.
Oh. But yeah.
One thing that was weird about this episode, and I don't remember which, if it was 7:15 or 7:16, but it was really odd how Eugene's recitation of that scripture was used as a transition right after Matthew falls into that well. Instead of the door sound, he falls into that well.
Right.
And then it transitions with Eugene reciting some scripture, and then he comes out, and suddenly he finds himself in someone's sleeping quarters. That was really weird.
Yeah.
Which that was different.
Because the well's not a door.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know.
Is a glitch in the program. That's what it was.
Eugene needs to work on
it. He does.
They didn't have a good way to get him from where he was to somewhere else. There was no door out in the field because he was outside.
I think it was an accident. He didn't mean to fall into the well. That's probably what it was, you know.
The well was the door.
Yeah.
Maybe we were thinking about this too much.
There can be portals anywhere.
But it's the emphasis is on doors, though.
Yeah.
And so it should have been a door. But that's where are you going to have a door from outside?
A barn or something.
They're out there stoning Stephen. Like, where is there a door?
Oh. I don't know.
Just walk through a tree.
Yes.
I don't know.
Those are made of
Maybe
doors are made
a wardrobe.
Of trees. Yes. But, yeah.
One great moment, though, was when Matthew's having the conversation with Stephen. And Stephen says, to suffer for Jesus is an honor. And Matthew said, yeah, but what if something worse happens? And he says, that would
glory.
Be glory.
Yes,
I'm like, wow, that is a great moment.
I like that line.
And did you catch the voice? Jim Cummings was one of the men in the temple.
Yeah.
Who plays the young Mr. Whitaker.
Yep, caught that.
That was really cool. Yep. Any other thoughts on The Perfect Church?
Nope. I don't think so.
Okay. Two thumbs up for me on this one.
That would be
unanimous.
Yeah.
Six thumbs. Wow.
Okay. Six thumbs.
Six out of six.
What's next, Roy?
Let's go to episode number 717, Great Expectations. And this is about how Emily is pursuing her dreams, and she journeys to the imagination station to see Mr. Whitaker when he was a young lad. So, interesting. An imagination station adventure about wit.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. This is the first time we've had a glimpse back to Mr. Whitaker in quite a while, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If I remember correctly.
Right.
And
I think
of course,
the last one was actually Silent Night.
I know it's been a long time, and I you may be right.
That Christmas episode.
Yeah.
Something like that. But this is really good.
Of course, we have Joanne Allen who shows up. Now we find out the Allens are traveling abroad. And I got to say thank you to Dave and Paul for not just dropping these characters like we've seen in the past with some just
Bernard.
Well, yeah, good example, Bernard or the Washingtons, or you know, just suddenly you just never hear anything about them again.
Right.
And so they kind of closed out these characters in this way. So kudos to them for doing that because you know it was really nice to hear Joanne Allen again. Now, did you guys catch this? As Wit is programming the imagination station for Emily, he says, now let's see if this thing works. I'm like,
oh really? I didn't
nice
even catch
line.
That.
Use that classic line that they used to use at the in the introduction.
Again. That's funny. I didn't even catch that. Wow. Good.
And I think this is probably one of the best Emily Jones episodes. because I really don't, I know I've said this before, I really don't care for that character that much. But this was one of the better ones.
Mm-hmm.
Better uses of that character.
Yes, I liked it. Yeah, because she is really pushy with Matthew and stuff. That gets annoying sometimes.
Mm-hmm. One thing that was interesting to me is that the young Mr. Whitaker, he's writing this article or whatever, and he's asking a kid to help him proofread it.
Well, the idea was that she was growing. She was older than him in the beginning because she was babysitting him.
Right.
And then after that, she just grows up with him. Because he said in the beginning that
they'll see you the way they need to see you.
Because she even said, why would they have me babysitting you? And she's like, I'm only a couple years older than you in this story or whatever. And he says they'll see you the way that they need to see you. Because then she's supposed to get older.
Well, shouldn't they have changed her voice then?
I don't know. It's not the Room of Consequence. They only do that in the Room of Consequence.
It's interesting, though, that this album was just packed with invention episodes. Like, here you have two, technically three Imagination Station episodes back-to-back. Because mm-hmm. Perfect Church is two episodes, but I don't. Has that ever happened before?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
That many all in one album? I don't know.
We could, I'm sure, just say something like that. It's never happened before. And our listeners will inform us.
Yes, they will.
We will definitely know if we just misspoke. Thank you, listeners.
Appreciate
that.
Are you bitter?
Of course not. Why would I be bitter? I would never, ever be bitter.
Okay.
That's good.
Just making sure.
Because you don't want a root of bitterness to spring up.
That's right.
Untrouble me.
So, Whit, as he's in the park there, and Emily comes up, and they sit on the bench together. He's like, I love this park, except that old recreation center. It's an eyesore. Somebody needs to tear it down.
Exactly. That's so funny. It was pretty funny. You know, I really liked the fact that at the end, they were like, oh, Mr. Whitaker's gone. Where'd he go? Oh, he's taking flying lessons.
Yes. I loved that. And then, of course, Jack. We'll hear more about that later, but, I mean, he's in Scotland. Which was one of the things that was on his list.
Right, exactly.
And we've heard other things about Emily struggling with decisions or whatever, and this whole what she wants to be when she grows up. We've heard about her and her dad and before. So that was a little old to me, you know, but I really liked this episode mostly just because of the angle with Whit and Jack and going back and finding out more about them.
Yeah. Right. That was pretty cool.
I like hearing Jen Cummings. He's
Yes.
I like.
It is kind of neat, too, when you think about the way that we see these different snapshots of the important times in his life. Like, we've seen him in World War II in certain stories. Mm-hmm. But this one we actually saw where he got, you know, his draft notice or whatever.
Yes.
I thought that was really cool. And then we've seen parts of him as a young father. But then we see where he finds out he's going to be. And we've never seen that before. So it was pretty cool.
It was definitely. That was written by Nathan Hubler. That's really good. I like that too. And you know, he's in some ways it was like all of his aspirations were completely shattered.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at him in current time or present day or whatever, and he's done so much with his life, and he's not bitter, you know.
Right,
Andrew. Right. And he's got all of these things that he's accomplished, but he still has these other things that he wants to do. And so it was just kind of I think it really gave more of a humanity or a personableness to the character of Whit, which we don't see very often. He's always the one who has everything figured out, you know? So,
right, exactly. Right. That's a good point. Never thought about that.
I would say two thumbs up on this one as well.
Mm-hmm. And we won't be handing out two thumbs up on all these, just so you know. Because we do tend to do that a lot with Odyssey. But not this time.
No.
But with this one, yes.
Yeah.
So more about that in a moment. So now we have episode 718, For $3 More is the title. And this is when Barrett questions the value of tithing. Matthew, Connie, and Whit send him on trips in the Room of Consequence to see the result of his decision.
Which is interesting, having three different people, you know,
mm-hmm.
Teach him the same lesson. Actually, it was really cool.
Yeah.
And the Connie perspective was so predictable and like totally Connie.
Yeah. Right. Which I think you could say the same thing for the Matthew one. That sounded mm-hmm. like it could have been Connie too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think it was so
over the top and everything.
And over
the
top. Yeah, exactly.
But I think it was Ben who pointed out in one of his reviews that it was really odd how Whit's allowing these kids to program the adventures.
Yeah, I thought it was cool too on this episode how we get Barrett when he's older, and that character is actually played by his older brother.
Oh, mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, I thought that was neat too.
And it really did. I mean, I guess this is why. That's why. But it really did sound reasonable. Like that would be what his voice would sound.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was pretty
exactly.
cool.
Yeah.
And the voice for the adult Matthew. Did you catch who that was?
I missed it.
It sounded really, really familiar. It sounded like Jared to me.
Absolutely. Brandon Gilberstadt.
No way.
Jared. Yeah.
One of my all-time favorite characters.
Exactly.
In
I know.
I love that character.
He has a really cool voice, too, so that's awesome.
It was cool to have him on the show again.
Yeah, I knew I recognized that voice, and I thought of that somewhere. It just slipped my mind until you just said that. So.
And again, the message or the lesson in this episode was really, I think it was driven home really well.
Yes, definitely.
Three times.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Third time's a charm.
No, but you, do you think that was odd that suddenly Matthew is programming these adventures? I mean, it used to be some complex thing that only Whit and Eugene could do, and now suddenly these kids are doing it?
They do make it seem more simple.
Because they're using...
And then Connie does it? I mean, Connie programming computers? What?
I know. When was she able to be able to, when was she ever able to do that?
I know.
You know, she's like... Maybe it's because you're using an Apple machine or something. That's probably what it is.
It's just simple.
Yeah.
Easy for
they're probably like
to
using
use.
An iPad to like program the Imagination Station.
Well, they did probably already switch to their Apple OS.
Probably did, yeah.
Since, you know, we had that kid that suggest that mm-hmm. when they were talking to the producers that one time.
Right, yeah.
Who knows? But I do know that I would give this one 2 thumbs up as well. It was funny.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. The whole thing was awesome.
I really like this one. I'm going to agree with that. Roy?
I agree.
Moving on. 719, The Bible Network.
This was hilarious.
This one, yes, I agree.
Dying laughing through the whole thing.
Laughing out loud at parts.
Oh, yeah. Like, especially when we come to the drill sergeant. Oh, my word. I loved it. It was awesome.
Yes, that was hilarious. Like, you know,
I am your drill sergeant.
The first two parts of it were all right. I mean,
the first two like skits.
Like the first two sketches weren't all that great, to be honest. It sounded like a little kid story.
The BSI was hilarious. So funny.
The BSI was pretty funny. Who's the real sheep was kind of lame.
Yeah.
What I liked about that was the voices. Mm-hmm. I mean, because you had Whit Hurt for Jess Harnell, Will Ryan, and you know, doing some of those weird voices.
Yes.
I love it whenever they get to use these other voices in the shows when it's not their regular character.
Right.
And I really do think that this one was more for, like, younger kids. You know, it seemed
it
like...
It is a kid's radio
it
play.
It seemed like a kid's show. You know what I mean? Like, some
well,
of
it
them
is kids
more
radio.
Adult than others.
Yeah.
True.
So.
Like the Labyrinth.
Kids probably wouldn't really get the BSI references. They'd just think it was cool. But there's a lot of adult jokes, just like in the Star Trek parody, you know, with Hidden in My Heart. Mm-hmm. It was kind of the same thing with using the Bible.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm.
It's cool. We got to hear Jess Harnell in his original voice on that last sketch they did on there.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Except he did.
It's so hilarious.
One thing, though, right at the beginning, though, is interesting. I just caught that Connie says she has some listener letters.
Right.
And then she proceeds to play these audio clips.
Right.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Is it an audio letter?
I I heard that. I thought the same thing. She's kinda like an audio, and this person wrote in and said, and she plays this audio thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's weird.
Okay.
It's like an audio text message.
Yeah.
Here's something really cool, though. And I wasn't 100% sure on this, so I emailed Nathan Hubler, and he confirmed it. Dan Hagen, who played several of the voices, he played Arthur in the BSI, he played Drill Sergeant Combs. He also plays Archie Hagler in the Green Ring Conspiracy.
Oh, okay.
And get this, he plays Jacques Henri.
No
way. That dude has so many voices.
Wow.
I thought Jacques Henri was, I think it's Bob Hoos, the guy that played a voice that sounds a lot like Jacques Henri, but it was more normal. Like, if Jacques Henri didn't have an accent, it would sound just like him.
Like Bob Hoos?
Yeah. Like, I don't remember what episode it was in, but I've heard his voice before on Odyssey, and it sounds just like him playing a different accent.
Hmm.
So I really thought that's who it was. It's really interesting to find that out. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you listen to those three voices there. Arthur in the BSI, Drill Sergeant Combs and Jacques Henri, or and even Archie Hagler. I mean,
right.
they're all
totally
four
different.
Completely different voices.
And I never would have connected
yeah.
them.
Yeah, I thought Archie Hagler would be like his own, you know, I thought that was someone totally
he
different.
Also, this is jumping ahead a little bit, but he also played Rudolph in the Home Again.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Now that I pick up on, and see, that's the thing is that sounds like, that's who I thought it was. I mean, it sounds just like that other guy. That's really cool.
Because the AIO wiki has two different entries. One for Drill Sergeant Combs and all these other ones, but they have a different entry for the actor who plays Jacques Henri. So that's why I wasn't sure. And so I checked with Nathan. And he said, no, it's the same guy.
Hmm.
So I was like, wow, that is amazing. Guy's talented.
Yeah.
But again, the Bible Boot Camp was absolutely hilarious. Loved it. This is probably my favorite kids radio sketch ever.
Yeah,
it was downright hilarious.
It was hilarious. I was, yeah, like you said, several laughing out loud moments.
You know what? You could even take that, just that sketch,
yeah.
and use that for a puppet presentation.
For sure.
Would that be awesome?
Yeah.
I mean, it fits perfectly. The lesson is very apparent, especially towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I loved it.
Falling down the well and everything. And
that was really
so funny.
And he's like,
you give
me
hugs.
A hug.
I loved it.
That was pretty funny. Can I have a hug?
I love it. Drop down and give me 50 verses, boy. That's awesome. Yeah.
I love that scene where Ron and Rick are calling each other names with scripture.
Yes. That was hilarious.
I am going to sit down one day and look up each of those because I didn't.
I did. I have done the
research.
I figured
somebody would have, but
so,
I didn't yet.
Ron says, calls him a loser. Rick's like, well, you're Matthew 23:33. Well, I looked that up. It says, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. And Ron responds, Proverbs 17:7, which says, excellent speech becometh not a fool.
Oh,
nice.
And then he replies with Acts 7:51, which says, you stiff-necked people.
Oh.
And he's like, did you just call me a goat? Like, I said Acts 7:51. Oh. So I'm not sure which one he thought it was. Maybe 11:50. I don't know. I'd have to look it up, but... That was hilarious.
That's really funny. Yeah.
Yeah, that one was.
So
that sketch was absolutely.
That hilarious. Sketch is what makes this a good episode for
that's
me.
That's what I think. Right. Yeah, I mean, the two other sketches were good, like I said, but I like the last sketch best. Definitely.
If it was just another one like that, then I would probably say this was an average episode. But because of that last one, I'm going to say thumbs up for this one.
Yeah, I'll give it one thumbs up because of the other two sketches weren't that great.
So, speaking of Jacques Henri, we have Happy Hunting, episode number 720.
Which was a free episode.
Yes.
And you can download that. There's a link in the show notes if you haven't yet. If you haven't purchased the album, well, you can grab this free episode. But I love this character, too. I mean, he's a really good addition to the program.
Oh, definitely.
One of my favorite lines that he has in this one, when Penny is criticizing the paintings, he's like, is that an egg? He's like, not merely an egg. It's Humpty Dumpty.
All this stuff he says. Like,
Humpty Dumpty.
Yeah. And, like, at the very end, I love it, like, when he's on the answering machine. And he's like, would you please come back? He's like, I'm tearing up the paintings.
Yes,
and
I am spitting on them.
He's like, tui, tui.
I am stamping on the what remains.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Crack me up. Oh, yeah. Tui, tui, tui.
By the way, who has an answering machine anymore?
Right?
What is up with that?
Yeah,
I mean,
that
don't you have
really
cell phones?
That was really weird. But how else are you going to do that? Like a message that somebody else could hear.
Yeah.
That is so funny. Just play it on speakerphone.
Yeah, that's true.
Hmm.
But why would he call Connie, though? That was the whole angle. She had to have Connie.
Yeah, that's true.
Sharing it with her.
Weird. Maybe he's on the same data plan.
That would be weird.
I love that. Towards the beginning when Penny's trying to get Wooten to guess what's different.
Yes.
And
hilarious.
He could not. And a wit immediately, oh, yeah, you got new boots. And Wooten's like, I stand humbled in the presence of a true master.
That's perfect. He's like, yeah, that was really funny. Oh, man. The poor girl, I thought it was hilarious. She keeps on making her way back to the emergency room and all this stuff because she keeps on trying to, you know. The whole, what was it? The whole happiness group that they went to.
Mm-hmm. Happiness support
so
group.
So funny.
Yes. Yeah, that was pretty
funny. What are your problems? Oh, it was hilarious.
How can we support your happiness?
Yes. I don't want to be here.
And I've said this before, I really don't care for the character of Penny that much. But this one was actually pretty decent because there was a lot of really funny things. But the thing that's weird is we've gone through this kind of scenario before with her. It's like they're reusing ideas a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, what was that last one with the whole body language thing, you know?
Right.
And yeah. She's going around and she just makes a mess out of everything. So it was totally the same thing. She's in search of happiness this time instead of trying to read people's body language.
Right.
But it results in almost the same type of thing.
True.
So, do you recall who wrote that episode, the whole body? I can't even remember the title of it, but this one was written by Kathy Buchanan, which I know a lot of people are still upset at her for the way she killed Mitch, but... yeah.
She did a good job. It was good. I think it's hilarious.
What did you just say?
This episode's good.
Oh, okay. Kathy Buchanan. I thought you were talking about she did a good job with Mitch. I was about to say.
We reviewed that already. So... like, the funny line in this one was when her face starts swelling up, like, from the... she was allergic.
The acting was pretty good on that, too.
It was like, funny. Where are her eyes? That was so funny.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. They actually repeat that same story to...
Yep.
Jumping ahead.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. That was pretty cool that they used that later.
Yeah.
But I agree. That whole happiness support group was a really funny scene. And, of course, the lesson at the end where Whit is talking with Penny... I thought that was really, really good. You know, talking about, you know, happiness isn't all it is cracked up to be. And it kind of reminded me of the Happy Smilers.
Right, yeah. Same thing.
Same kind of a concept.
Yeah, same thing.
Especially the happiness group. That was mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought of the same thing when I heard
I think they should have
whole happiness group.
Had a chapter of the Happy Smilers. They missed an opportunity there. That would have been pretty good.
The Happy Smilers come back to Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That would be great.
Do you guys notice how Kimmy Robertson... pronounces Wooten though. She hits Wooten. That T really hard. Yeah. Wooten.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? And like nobody else pronounces it like that.
I think that's the whole point.
You think it's intentional? Like they wanted her to do that or?
Well, the first time she did it, the first time she said his name or whatever, when they were at the
cafeteria.
That was the first time. But then when they were at the carnival, and she's yelling at him,
oh, yeah.
He's like Wooten. And I think maybe they just picked up on that and did it the whole... Because every time she says his name, it's pretty funny. Maybe not. Maybe it's just random. I don't know.
Well, I'm going to say for me, this is it's an average episode. There was some funny stuff, but... I mean, it's not one of my favorites.
I liked it.
It was pretty good. I mean, it wasn't the best, but it was pretty good. I liked it. One thumbs up. One thumb up.
One thumb.
I'm gonna give it like a thumb in the middle, to the side.
Both, yes, yeah, right. We can do that for guys.
To the right or left.
It's like at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, more like 9 o'clock.
Nine. Okay.
Then we have the Holy Hoopster 7:21. I'm still not too sure how I feel about Coach Fang.
Moving on to 7:22.
Actually. I'm joking.
Kidding.
That was good, Roy. Thank you. Well said. Now,
Coach Fang. I love Coach Fang.
I love Coach Fang.
Hey,
Coach
no,
Fang
no, no.
is hilarious.
I love Coach Fang.
No, I do. No,
like
we do.
Stealing
they
my
do.
Line.
He does. She does.
He loves?
It
who does?
Does. They
oh,
do.
Okay. Coach Fang is awesome. Pronouns. He's like, you are a butterfly. It's so funny.
But don't you think some of that stuff is so too new agey?
It sounds silly, but I think it's hilarious.
Goodness, yes, it sounds so funny. I was like, I die laughing every time I hear it.
I mean, yeah,
you
he
are
has
an
some
earthworm.
Funny lines, but
oh, it is
did he just
new
call
age.
Me a worm?
Yeah, it's so funny.
I think it's supposed to be like Chinese.
Yeah, but
stuff.
Well, and it's so stereotypically Asian. You know, it's like
yeah, it is. It's great. It's hilarious.
But it's kind of interesting. Usually. Most of the coaches in history, like Tom Riley, except for when it was Bart, you know,
right.
They were good role models. This
right,
guy's a
exactly.
little wacky.
Yeah. He is.
That's true. That's a good
he
point.
Is.
Very good point.
That is a good point, but it's still funny. Those are all valid points, but it's still hilarious.
He's just like, JD, I could care less what you're saying.
As long as it's funny, I like it.
Imagine yourself going through the hoop
it's
or whatever
so
he
funny.
Says.
Of course, Jay is what makes this episode for me.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
that's like the bright point.
That all new Odyssey Owl.
That's true. Yeah. Jay definitely. Then the way he's on the radio now, kind of a throwback to when he was doing the announcements for Barrett.
Yeah.
And that whole thing. I thought it was pretty cool. He's just a jerk, but
he's
hilarious.
Just awesome. He does it, yeah, and when he's talking to Ryan about praying, he's like, literally or fictionally? Yeah. It's just hilarious. I mean, I think this has got to be one of the most fun characters for the writers, I would think.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
And Whit Herford just makes it.
Oh yeah.
He's amazing.
Yeah. Just like like you said, the lines they give him are just awesome. And the way he pulls them off, just amazing. Yes. Yeah.
Now, moving on from the positive, funny lines that were in this thing. What possessed
Andrew? We were just learned about happy hunting and like being mm-hmm. positive. We stay positive.
Yeah,
no, I'm kidding.
I'm gonna be positively negative because I don't know what it was about this story, but it was just it was horrible.
Yeah.
No offense, Marshall. We love your writing.
Typically, I do have to say though, this one and Happy Hunting were, for me, and this is my opinion, but were the worst episodes of the season.
Yes, I would have to agree with that.
Yeah.
Definitely with the Holy Hoopster.
Yeah, I mean.
Of course, and you mentioned this earlier, Roy, but the first thing that came to mind as soon as I heard the first couple of scenes of this mm-hmm. episode is Tim Tebow.
Right.
Because he's all over the news. I mean, you don't have to even be following sports. I mean,
it's like
you
don't care less about sports.
No, yeah, same here.
I hear about him from
coworkers. And
exactly.
Honestly, the way that they had Jay tearing apart Ryan is very similar to the way that people just mm-hmm. slam on him all the time, even though,
or even Brad, the way Brad felt about it.
And even though he really, like, people do like dig and stuff, and he really does try to live the way he teaches or mm-hmm. whatever,
the way he believes,
he really tries to live it, but. I don't know. Somehow putting that story in an odyssey was like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I first heard it, I was like, this is Tim Tebow. I mean, that might not have been what they're going for, but that's what I thought of when I heard it.
Well, I think I heard either on the official podcast or somewhere that it was intended to be a reference
addressing,
to that.
Yeah, so. I thought it was because, you know, who knows what opinions kids might form when they hear all these people bashing on. So it's I get the point of doing an episode like this, but. It was just a.
There were a few tidbits throughout the storyline that were kind of cool. Like Matthew was a water boy in Target of the Week, and now Camilla's a water girl in this episode. Mm-hmm. That was kind of neat. I mean, it kind of gives you different glimpses of some of the characters in Odyssey and what they're doing in their life. Speaking of water girl, Camilla, when she was talking about their winning streak or something like that, she says. That's the most exciting thing to happen to this team since I became the water girl.
Yeah, that's funny. She like stops and pauses to think about it. She's since, like, I mean,
yeah.
So funny.
I thought too that it was cool that they had Lightning Livingston again.
I know. I was going to mention that too because he last appeared in episode 54. Look at this, 721. That
Holy
was
cow.
A lot. I mean, that was an amazing throwback.
667 episodes later, he finally comes back.
Impressive math, Andrew, as always.
And he first appeared in episode 48.
And
both of those were from
1988. And his whole connection was with Jimmy.
Yes.
Right.
So it was kind of cool that he was actually looking at Ryan.
Yeah. This information courtesy of the AIO Wiki. Thank you, Mark. But I thought that was so cool how they did that. I was hoping that he was going to appear. Obviously, it wouldn't be the same actor. I'm pretty sure. But
right. That would have been really cool.
Another really awesome thing. I mean, it's always goes back to Jay for me. Did you hear that line? Say goodnight, Gracie.
Yeah, like, exactly. I thought that was funny, too. I loved that.
A reference to the old-time radio show,
yeah, George
Burns and Allen.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Thanks for listening. Any else?
So,
says,
again,
good night,
great moments. Yeah, every episode he would end saying goodnight, Gracie.
Mm-hmm.
But good moments, you know, funny lines, great dialogue. So, good writing. I just didn't like the story.
The whole premise of it.
Right.
And the arc.
You know what? I don't know if I necessarily didn't like the premise. It just didn't strike me as a good episode, really. I mean,
that's what
Jay
I mean.
Had so many funny lines that it kind of made it entertaining for me.
Right.
Because I love the character of Jay.
Right.
But, I mean, especially that scene where he's talking with Ryan and Ryan tells him, you know, I hope we lost with grace and integrity. Jay's like, I wouldn't know about any of those, you know. And he's like, "Sadly, I think you're right, Jay." But I mean, those moments made it a decent episode for me. So I'm gonna say it's average, but it certainly wasn't one of my favorites.
No, not at all.
Now we can move on to one that I really liked.
This was cool.
Yes.
Which one was that?
722, The Lost Riddle. Are we on the same page? Okay, good. We're on the same page.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I only have one page. Mine just continually scrolls down. You know,
so. Okay. Yeah.
There's not too many pages.
I just found this page in my locker. No reference at all. I'm just kidding. Yeah, so this is pretty cool.
Loved this one. Best Jones and Parker detective mystery ever.
For sure.
Right. You know, they weren't finding an animal, and they weren't finding a video game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lame.
This is really
an
cool.
An actual mystery, I guess.
Right, exactly.
Not a full-fledged whodunit kind of a thing, but, I mean, it was a decent story.
But I mean, I liked the character of Mrs.
Maze.
Yes,
she's hilarious. Are my ears too big?
Why are you looking at my ears?
I'm kidding. Don't be so sensitive. It's so funny. Oh, she cracked me up. Yeah, really good. But
I like how they brought Dale back again.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was good.
Exactly.
What about the sound effects whenever she's unlocking her storage room?
I don't know.
It's like, it seemed to go on forever.
I didn't even notice that until like the third time I listened to it. So I guess funny. I wasn't paying close enough attention, but it was just hilarious.
Jonathan Crowe, courtesy of Jonathan, is awesome. It is awesome.
I was like, man, when is she going to get the door open?
And then Matthew's like, wow, you're big on security.
Yeah. I love that line too whenever she... It was funny because... Emily had said to Mr. Whitaker when he first mentions Mrs. Mays, she was like, wow, she's ancient. And yeah. Then when they go to meet her, she says the same thing. She's like, I'm ancient.
Yeah.
I can barely remember where I parked my motorcycle.
Her motorcycle.
Oh, that was hilarious. That was a very good addition.
Yeah.
And did
now,
you know,
the whole story was amazing.
Yes.
The story was really good. The clues were pretty cool. And the way that everybody was... And the way that when Dale solved basically everything, everybody was like, oh, why didn't I think of that? Like,
yeah.
He's like, now see, you can dip the laminated card in the ink
exactly.
Or in the water and it'll wash off the ink and then you'll only have what's left underneath. Oh, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah.
Then they take the lemon juice thing to Wit and he's like, I should have thought of that. And Matthew was like, oh, why didn't I think of that? They just kept saying it over and over again.
I have to say, fantastic job to Bob Hoos for this script. I mean, mm-hmm. It was really, really good. Did you notice how Wit says happy hunting to Matthew and Emily?
Yes.
Whenever they're leaving to follow up on a lead?
Yes.
I thought that was funny. That was a funny
reference.
Reference back to happy hunting.
Yeah.
Now to address the author, Kenny Rutherford. He was the author of a series of mysteries, and it was called the Big Jack Brannigan series. Was that a reference to anything? I was trying to remember. I couldn't think of anything if that was just
I don't think so. I think maybe it was just kind of random. I don't recall.
Now, there was one hole that I discovered, and maybe I just missed something, but so Dale has a signed copy of one of Kenny's books, and he says that Kenny signed it for him, but then he says, like, they haven't seen each other forever, and, like, how in the world did he sign a book for him if they haven't seen each other in decades?
I don't recall that he did say that.
He's like, oh, I got one of his books right over here. Whenever
no, I remember,
you know,
that.
And then he's like,
but I don't even recall.
Because that's how they were able to recognize his signature.
Right.
From
right.
The
note.
I just don't recall them actually saying, I haven't seen him in 25 years or whatever it was.
Well, but because whenever they went to his house, he's like, oh, Dale. You know, they're like a reunion kind of a thing where they,
yeah,
they made know. It seem like they hadn't seen each other. And he said after that whole thing with him putting the note in his locker, he never found it. He kind of avoided him at school, and he felt like that
right.
He had never
I
given
just,
him and stuff.
I just
so.
Kind of thought that they had come across each other.
And
as like a business thing.
As a kind gesture, he just hands a copy of his book signed by him.
Yeah. Could be. I just thought
he's
it was kind
author.
Of a
odd thing. Like
because he still feels guilty.
Exactly. Trying to
he's
make
like,
up for it.
Here's my book, and I autographed it
Here's
for
my $25 you. Book. I'm now a millionaire. Here's my $25 book. Hope this makes up for everything.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I have to say, a fantastic episode. One of the best of the season. And the lesson was really good, you
yes,
know.
It was.
So.
I enjoyed this one.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Thoroughly.
Yes.
So it was good. Now, can we move to the next one? Because... I really like this next one.
Okay, two thumbs up on this one.
Yes.
Next.
Next, 723, Groundhog J.
J.
Which they do seem to incorporate Jay's name into a lot of the episodes that he's featured in.
Unbecoming Jay. And
so Groundhog Jay. After Jay pushes Priscilla into an unexpected trip in the Room of Consequences, the two of them experience the same event over and over again.
It's hilarious.
And how he kept messing up the name, the Room of...
Yeah.
What did he call
coincidence.
It?
Coincidence.
That's Room of Coincidences. Or whatever. Yeah,
and he called it something else, too.
Yeah, I forgot. Conclusions or something really weird. But I really thought that this one was hilarious.
Oh, okay.
The whole thing was
once
funny.
More around the block, Jeeves.
He says,
I know.
Oh,
I caught that too.
Awesome. Oh, it's hilarious.
It's like he's coming up with these literary and old time radio references.
Yeah, like
out of nowhere.
Yeah. And it's so funny. And also, whenever he finds the back door of Wits End and they're leaving, he's like, there she blows. I'm like, that's a whale watching term. I'm like, dude, that's from Moby Dick
so
or something.
Random.
Yeah. And he's like the bad student. Like, where is he getting this stuff
from? He's so random. That's what's hilarious.
Exactly.
But this was written by Bob Hoos too. I don't know.
The way that Jay talked to himself in that one scene.
That was awesome. He's like, excuse me, Captain America.
Exactly.
Didn't he say something about, like, I didn't know I was that handsome
or
something like that?
Oh, rugged good looks or something like that.
Square jaw, rugged squint to the eyes. And Priscilla's like, oh, brother.
Yeah.
And of course, he has to have that line, rue the day.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yes, that is his line.
Yeah.
I wonder if he just, like, brings that into the recordings now.
Just I know.
Just randomly.
Yeah, that would be pretty good.
As an ad lib or something.
Mm-hmm.
And a mimosa shrub.
Right.
Like, that is so random. And again, like, he doesn't seem like the most intelligent kid in school, and he's coming up with these really weird things.
Yeah.
It was a hilarious episode. And I thought the way that Connie, like, the way that they kept going back to the beginning and Connie would drop the
cake.
The root beer floats.
Oh, the root beer. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the last time she's like, I'm not going to drop the cake. I wouldn't drop it. Come on. And then she comes in and drops the cake instead of the floats.
Yeah. That was really interesting.
And did you notice it was Kyle's birthday? I'm wondering, is that the same Kyle who Eugene and Katrina babysat a couple albums.
Oh, good call.
Yeah.
Never thought of that.
But you never hear the character, so we don't know. But
I
absolutely loved this one. I mean, this one and The Lost Riddle are the two best. And again, this is just my opinion, but these are the two best of the season, I think.
Right. It was was hilarious.
Bob Hoos hit two home runs, I think.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for the help, Dave Arnold.
Yeah. And another thing that Jay's like, whenever Priscilla, they're going through the toy shop, you know, and she's like, oh, we can go around this way or whatever. He's like, Priscilla Peterson, you have a sneaky side.
Yeah,
be
exactly.
Still my heart.
Yeah.
Jay is just, that has got to be like the best character invention since Wooten.
Oh, for sure.
He's hilarious.
He is. I wanted to say he had like some line from like an Agatha Christie or something. I keep on thinking of it. Like, it sounded like Hercule Poirot. However you pronounce that.
Oh, I think you're right.
I do seem to remember.
No, it was Miss Marple.
That's.
He said something about Miss Marple or something like that. It was one of the Agatha Christie main characters, detectives and her
books. He had some line or something.
It was another literary reference, but I can't remember what it is now.
Yeah, I thought I recognized it like from the game or something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't remember what it was right now, but.
Anyway,
definitely two thumbs up on
this one. Definitely.
Yes. Unfortunately, that's all I can give it because I don't have any more thumbs than that. But
all right, three episodes to go. 7:24 and 7:25 home again.
We just covered two.
Parts one and two.
Right. This is, I like this one.
Yeah, it's cool. Jason's finally back. You know, everybody's been clamoring for that to happen for a long time.
Right, and they finally threw the bone to the audience. They finally actually gave us something we wanted.
Yep.
Took them long enough.
Right.
Man.
Finally got there.
Everything's been one big disappointment after another. My goodness.
It's hilarious he comes back to the tunnel. You know, that's pretty cool. Because he's always like,
exactly.
You know.
It's always associated.
I didn't even think of that.
It's
that
always
was kinda cool.
Associated with the tunnel.
Yeah.
Because
you always forget about the tunnel and what's in. But.
Yep. And his tunnels, the tunnel's like his big thing, too. I mean, he was the one that wanted to turn it into the attraction when Blackheart blew it up and all that stuff.
He died
in the tunnel, quote unquote. He's always kind of connected
to
the tunnel.
That's like his secret.
It's pretty cool.
His secret passage right there.
So I liked how
he figured out the combination. He's like, because I know you. That's hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's like, how'd you know the combination? Oh, because I know you. Makes sense.
Which is interesting because they say they never share like secrets and stuff. They try not to, you know, things they do. like with the government and whatnot, but Jason just
and then they've been working together on like everything recently.
Yeah,
funny.
That is interesting. Anyway, but yeah, this is a good episode. This is one of my favorites personally.
And we get our normal Connie back because since Penny's been in, Connie's changed a little bit. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Now we get a glimpse of the old Connie where she's like feeling left out and nobody's sharing anything with her, and, which has been a theme for years.
Oh, yeah. She's always the last one to know everything. Last now she's the know. First time to know something and she just blows it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And Eugene's like, you've made a huge assumption, Connie, which is often problematic as you should know from past experience. Which is interesting. I don't know when this changed, but he's starting to call her Connie now, too.
Instead,
instead of Miss Kendall.
I think that changed when he came back, actually.
Yeah. That could be.
And that's funny. It was always strange, too, because there would be times, like, when they came out of the imagination station after their experience in Bethlehem,
mm-hmm.
he called her Connie, and that was so
a
weird.
Big deal.
It was,
yeah,
like,
right.
a big deal, you know, because he's, like, weeping and everything, you know.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. I hadn't picked up on that.
I hadn't either.
Didn't even think about it.
And even in that same scene, whenever Penny comes in, he calls her Miss Wise a couple times, and then he calls her Penny again at once too. So maybe he's just getting more familiar.
Who knows? And there were times even that he would go, Connie, Miss Kendall.
Yeah. Of course, the scene with Wooten and Wit was hilarious. Where Wooten's trying to figure out where Jason is. And,
oh my goodness. No, that's what it is. It's Wooten, dude.
That is
a simple deduction, Benny. That's what it is. See, I knew it was. I was thinking. Yep. I'm sorry, folks. Wrong episode. It was
Elementary, my dear.
No,
she says something. He says something.
It's
like
Wooten
that.
Who says the reference. I'm sorry, it wasn't.
It
Jay.
Is a Sherlock Holmes reference.
It's like, it's kind of like a Hercule Poirot thing or whatever. Mm-hmm.
I think you're right, though. I think that Jay did say something like that in the other episode, but.
A simple deduction, Penny.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, whenever he's trying to
figure out which cabin.
Yeah.
Has.
And it was just because he knew where the mail went.
Exactly.
So
he's like, but I had a better whole thing.
Yeah.
So funny.
But I like that.
But I had a much better answer prepared.
Yeah. I like that when Wit says to him, he's like, this doesn't feel like a very casual conversation, Wooten.
And then it was funny, too, at the end where he's like, oh, this probably sounds strange to you. But he's like, no, you just sound like Wooten.
Yeah.
And that scene in the cabin when Jason's all by himself and you hear that the coffee sipping sounds. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, that makes me want a cup of coffee. It was like perfect. Who's the sound designer on this one?
Jonathan
Crowe and Christopher Deal.
Yeah.
Man.
They did a good job.
And all the construction sound effects. I mean, this one was pretty intensive on sound. So.
Definitely. I mean, because you're like walking through the forest, or like, you know.
And then how the sound, the cricket chirping.
Yeah.
As being like the only thing that you could hear.
Yeah.
And it was getting louder and louder.
And he's praying and he's like, and thank you for that chirping cricket.
Yeah. I think this is also on this. I think it's towards the end. He's like, I think I just had an idea. And he goes, ding.
Yeah.
He's like,
no, that was my cell phone.
Yeah,
I just
was perfect. I was like, oh, that is awesome. But that's jumping ahead in the story a little bit. But.
And I think Mr. Whitaker must have an iPhone. I've got that sound on my phone.
Oh, yeah. Of course you would have an iPhone.
What else? Anyway.
Moving on.
So,
as we already mentioned, Rudolph, the jewel thief, was played by Dan Hagen. So that was really cool.
And I loved how they made him look and sound. Well, not sound, but look and act like Eugene.
I know.
It's hilarious.
That was pretty funny. The whole mix up, and they were calling him the vest waistcoats. And that old quirky thing. That was pretty funny.
So as far as the plot goes, I mean, that was cool. Jason coming back to Odyssey and Jack and Joanne. We're finding out a little bit more about what's going on with them. And then, of course, Jason's going to take over J&J Antiques, which is, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah,
me
I
too.
Did too.
That was a great idea.
I'm really hoping, I don't know, what do you guys think? Should they try to find other actors for Jack and Joanne and have them come back occasionally? Or should we just let those characters rest?
Nah, just let them go.
Really?
You think?
Yeah,
what do you
I mean, like,
no one can replace those two. I mean, they just got such a warm feel to them and their voices. It's just like.
And the way that Jack kind of signed off was really cool, the way he called in from Scotland and everything. That
and I have a feeling, I've not been able to confirm this, but I'm pretty sure that was actually recorded over the phone.
Yeah.
Because.
It sounds like.
Yeah.
It's an international call, though.
Yeah, that's true.
But because we know that Jack and Joanne were supposed to be the characters in the labyrinth.
True.
It was instead of Dale
right.
and Anne. So, but they couldn't get them. They weren't available, and Alan was actually having lots of health issues at that time.
And I do know that Alan is almost 100 years old.
What? Is he really?
He really
is. I thought he was in his 80s.
No, he's born. He was born. I think I just saw it the other day. It was like 1915 or 17, something like that.
Wow. Yeah, so, you know, I think there are some of the characters that they could bring back with different actors. I mean, they've done it with Wit.
Right.
So, yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I've always been able to pick up on that little bit of a Scottish accent in Jack's voice.
So that
was kind of cool how they ended it like that. I don't know if that was intentional. Because I think Alan Young is, isn't he Scottish?
I think he's actually British.
Is he?
I think so, yeah.
But, so, I mean, that was really cool to have that closure with those characters. But, you know, I kind of, one part of me wishes they would bring him back. Mm-hmm. Another part's like, okay, just leave him. But I would like to see the Wrathbones come back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you catch the whole underlying, like, thing in this with Connie and Jason?
Yes, and I don't like that. I don't think I like that at all. I think.
I mean, because I've had several people, like, they'll listen to it, and they'll text me, like, Connie and Jason? Like, are they
together?
Exactly. Well, no, she's, because she's like, oh, it was so good to see him again, or something like that. And I'm like, no, come on. You're just,
But she even says in there that he's like the big brother I never had. Like, yeah. I think they tried to take care of that with that line.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah, I think so, because he's like the big brother that was that I never had or that was never here or something like that.
And because really we know that years ago she had this massive crush on
exactly.
him. Exactly,
so. Yeah.
So it just kind of raises the suspicion.
Mm. Yeah. But, I mean,
Jason needs to marry Monica Stone.
Oh, my goodness.
Out of prison.
Yeah. She should be out of prison by now. You'd think. She has to be. I don't know. What's Connie? Do you know Connie's middle name? Does she have a middle name?
I don't know.
I was thinking, like, Connie Jane Kendall. It could be, like, J&J Antiques could still stay the same. So. But, you know.
Well, Jason could do it in honor to his parents.
Right.
Oh, yeah, he
John
could.
And Jenny.
There you go.
Of course,
she
her name was not
JJ and J.
It was Guinevere.
Yeah, and so J. It was a G, but everybody always called her Jenny. Maybe it was spelled G E N I.
He could do like the five J's.
Yeah, Jason,
John,
Jerry,
Jenny,
Jana.
Jason, Jerry, and Jana.
Oh, yeah.
They're all J's.
That's true. So
that's too long.
They'll pick up and continue on. So, but it is going to be interesting to see him running the, you know, the shop now and see different
and
things.
What kind of smuggling things it gets him into. Well, there's plenty of story opportunities.
Yeah, but he quit all that stuff. You know, he's trying to live a normal life now.
Oh yeah.
Now, here's another question. Yeah. So, should that be the end of the spy
like
thing?
That's going to happen.
Or do we still need to have some more mysteries with Jason?
Honestly, like that is Jason.
But he's getting
old,
man.
That's like
old,
his
man.
Character. Like, he is.
But he's tired.
But it wasn't.
He's retiring, man.
Initially.
He's like.
I mean, he started out that way. That's how he was introduced. A Name Not a Number was his first episode.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. The Mortal Coil.
Well, he, like, appeared for, like, 2 seconds. Like, oh, yeah, let's keep him alive, Jenna.
That's
it. And it wasn't even the same actor. But
no, it wasn't.
But there was quite a stretch there where he was not doing those types of things.
When he was the inventor guy. Remember the Bible game, video games?
When he was running Wits In with Jack, he wasn't doing all that stuff. Usually.
Yeah.
But those are like...
But Mr. Whitaker's back, so we don't need him.
He's very iconic.
Right? I just angered some listeners right there.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, we need to wrap up this one. I definitely really like this one. Paul McCusker, great job on this one.
Definitely.
Exactly.
Lastly, push the red button, number 726.
We should just have our podcast like in right now. And it's like,
didn't care for this one, huh?
No, not kidding. I meant like as a
reference.
Reference to the push the red button. Anyway, moving on.
Of course, this episode was based on the script from the live show in Dallas.
Right, and the like, did you ever get to hear like you know clips from when they were rehearsing for this show?
I'm not sure.
It's hilarious. Oh, my God.
Where did you get the opportunity to hear
that? I can't remember where it's at. It came with, like...
Oh, sure. Just tell us that and then throw us under the bus. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I heard it somewhere.
No. Yeah, it came with something. What did it come with? I don't know what it was, but, like, somehow you get to hear clips of them rehearsing for this. And
that
it's
would be
hilarious.
Cool.
Yeah.
I can imagine they would have had a lot of
maybe
fun
it was on
this.
One of the podcast, official Could podcasts, official podcasts, I think. I don't know, but... Anyway.
I do know that... I could not find who played Michelangelo in this episode, but in the live show, it was Chuck Bolte. That dude is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean,
and Chuck Bolte is.
Yeah, he's amazing.
And I knew it was Chuck Bolte in the live show, but I was listening to it on the way here. I could not figure out.
Who plays what?
It didn't sound like Chuck Bolte.
What?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Michelangelo in the studio version of it. And I definitely think that Chuck Bolte's performance was way better than whoever this guy was.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Why didn't they have him, same actor?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
He hasn't even touched Odyssey
no.
for a long, long time. Well, I guess it hasn't been that long. The last one that Jimmy Barkley, Living in the Living Gray? So since Novacom, which that has been a while.
But he did, and I don't remember what year that was, but he did play something in the live show that they did in Colorado Springs a few years ago as well.
Yep, they did.
So he comes back for these things, but
actually he played his own old character, didn't he?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mr. Barkley?
Yeah. In that old one or that other live show, but yeah, he's amazing. I wish they'd bring him back more often. I didn't realize he had such a range of different voices.
Right.
Now we find out why this is later at the end of the episode, but I was thinking that is so unlike Eugene to have a button there that he doesn't know what it's for.
You know? Yeah, exactly. You could tell that there was something weird about this story.
Well, yeah, it's totally unnatural, the whole thing.
Even when it sounds like just a normal thing, Matthew and Eugene working together. And that whole thing is actually pretty funny, too, how Matthew is working with Eugene and keeps messing stuff up.
Yeah.
That's a
running theme, too. Goes back to the mystery of the clock tower.
Right. Well, I think it's funny, too, Matthew, a lot of the time, he figures out this whole story. He's like, I have an idea. He keeps saying that. I have an idea.
Yeah, exactly.
And we get a, but.
We've mentioned this before, but Jess Harnell is amazing. I mean, that guy has so many voices. Captain Absolutely. I mean, it just struck me. I mean, we've heard it before, but it just struck me again in this one that he just does an amazing job.
He does. He's like the new Corey Burton.
Yeah, true. So yeah, that's voices. True.
Go ahead.
With Lamplighter, Finian Jones, I mean, I guess now that I know that it's him, I can hear qualities of his regular voice in Finian, but initially, I didn't know.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was really cool, too, how at the very end, he switched from his Captain Absolutely voice to Wooten, drop of a hat.
And that one part, he's like, I can't find my Wooten voice.
It was funny. He's like, kept on Mr. Whitaker, I can't find my Wooten voice. he was trying to get it back, but he couldn't. That was really good.
And Townsend did amazing with Lord Gargantuan Foulspleen.
Yes, he is awesome.
You don't really think of Jason as being that.
No.
But he does some really cool, funny voices.
Yeah, because I was listening to it with, I don't know who was listening. I was like, you know who this is, right? And I'm like, no, who isn't? It's Townsend. I'm like, no way.
I think we had the same conversation, too, that it was Jason.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
The sound design was amazing. I mean, there was so much going on in this thing.
Yeah, especially with all the in and out, when they disappear and everything and reappear.
Exactly.
All
that was
Rob
really
Jorgensen.
Cool.
Now, hey, didn't he work on Sir Knight of the Splendid Way? Or am I totally off? I thought I heard that, but
I did
sound
remember,
design on that. But anyway, it was just amazing. Yeah. I keep using that word. I think I'm overusing it, but I mean.
It was grand.
Yes.
Superb.
Phenomenal.
Superfluous.
Yes.
Yeah. As Austin would say.
But I think it was hilarious how they ended the whole thing with kicking the computer. That was just great, you know.
Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Of course Wooten's dream.
It's all Wooten's
dream. And then Wooten had his and then he's like, and then I dreamed we were all talking about this.
And then Eugene walks in at the end.
Exactly.
And
like, yeah.
I finally did it.
Yeah. That was funny. You know, it was a pretty good episode. I don't know though. It wasn't one of my favorites.
I would put it in the same category as we put the Holy Hoopster and Happy Hunting.
I don't
know. It was okay, but it wasn't that great.
I think it might have been too. It's like
too over the top.
Well, I think it's like a deal because they did it as a live show, and so they gave everybody who didn't go to the live show, get to hear what happened,
But then they ended up giving away the recording.
That's
so,
true.
That's true. To me, I think Home Again should have been the
last
the
one.
Ending. Yeah, the
that's
finale.
What
I was
too.
Thinking the same.
But
thing.
They had. I think they did it intentionally because. If suddenly you hear Townsend Coleman doing another character and he hasn't been back since Green Ring, People are like, what? You know?
That's true. Good
so
point.
Then they put the Jason returning prior to it. That's what I kind of figured. Could be way off base, but, you know, it just kind of seemed like that was what they did. But, you know, I think, again, Home Again would have been a better finale. So, overall, a great album. We had a lot of cool stuff. You know, Jason returns. Jack and Joanne come back. We find that they're leaving. Jason's going to take over J&J Antiques. Dale Jacobs is going to – sounds like he's going to be a more regular on the show again.
Right, which is really cool.
Lots of really cool things happen in this album. So, overall, this was a really, really good album.
Right.
I really liked it. I mean, some really good highlights. And, of course, Groundhog J, The Lost Riddle, fantastic episodes. Some of the best ones, I think some of the best ones since the relaunch.
Mm-hmm. Two thumbs up for the whole album for me. I liked it. It was
yeah,
good.
Exactly. It was good.
Yeah. Apart from, like, the name, which we kind of discussed a little bit, like, the name of the whole album, The Grand Design, you know, how that fits in towards the all the inventions being used in the album, but, you know.
Other than that, it seems kind of strange.
Yeah.
Where did
yeah.
we come up with yeah. this name?
But I would like to know that, too. And I know some people had questions about the deep end, but I totally see that because there
the
was a
end,
lot
yeah.
of
Well, things. They even use that. We're in deep waters
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah.
come on.
And I remember hearing people question that. I'm like, oh, I thought it was pretty, well, maybe not really obvious, but I mean, if you just think about it for a little
or
while,
or if you just
makes sense.
Turn the CD cover over, it says in the back that we're dealing with some very deep issues.
That's like, true.
I mean, come on.
A lot of these people probably are just listening to the radio and they didn't actually
probably.
Purchase. They're not true fans like we are. Mm. Ooh, I just anger people again.
Just don't tell them that they live in caves.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. By the way, we actually have some in-studio audience today. We forgot to mention that,
That's
but
right.
it's been fun. Hey, what do you guys say we jump into some feedback?
Let's do
sure.
it. Let's do it.
Please leave your message after the tone.
Hi, Audio Theater Central.
Hey, guys, this is Austin Peachy.
Hello, JD, Roy, and Andrew. My name is Victoria.
Now, yesterday, I received a letter from a big fan.
No time to chat. I've got an email list.
Another package for me today.
No, it's actually just your mail.
All right.
Yeah, the feedback from all of you are great listeners.
Fantastic yeah. listeners.
Text,
grand
emails.
Listeners.
Yes,
grand
emails.
Listeners.
Yes.
Amazing listeners. The ones that catch every mistake, yeah. which I love. You know what?
No, I do.
I like that.
I was really only teasing. I do like it, too, because it helps us. It really does.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, because...
Helps us to check what we say before we
yeah.
say it.
Yeah,
definitely.
Not really.
No,
we just
no,
say whatever
no,
comes to mind.
We just say anything. We have no restraint.
Yeah.
Okay. Roy, how about you take that first one?
So we got a text message from Phil in response to episode number 28. And this is our last episode. Comes
it's a
right
very
after
long text
yeah,
message.
29. Yeah. So he says, "I'm sure you've been told this many times by now, but the term used when an actor breaks the fourth wall and speaks or interacts with the audience is called an aside. That is probably the only thing that I remember from English lit class. I took it in college last year. Thanks for the work you all put into the program, Phil, Orange Park, Florida. By the way, I listen on my iPod." Yes, thank you.
Yes, we appreciate that.
But yeah, we were talking in episode 28 about how when an actor mentions, you know,
references the audience.
Yeah, thank you. References the audience. So there we go.
That's actually an aside.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I don't know if I do that. I think I've heard that people say, oh, that was an aside or whatever, but I never put two and two together, I guess.
Right.
And
got four.
But,
yeah.
And actually, Phil, you were the only one that brought that up to us. So thank you for letting us know.
Exactly.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
And it's the first time we've had a, well, not the first time, but we haven't had a text message in a while, so that was cool.
Yeah.
Actually, it was three text messages, but
oh, okay.
Because you know,
it's broken.
Too many characters,
right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't happen if
he
had an
iPhone.
Apple device.
Yeah. He does have an Apple device. Don't. He's got an iPhone.
No, not him.
Oh.
JD. If we did,
yeah.
Well, it doesn't go to my phone.
Okay.
It goes to an inbox.
Well, if you had iMessage on your computer,
then it would work. Yes.
Anyway, all right.
It's a web app, okay? So we got an actual voicemail.
This is cool. We haven't had one in a while.
Well, yeah, from our SpeakPipe, which is that little button on the side of the website. Really cool. You can do the same thing. This was from Elizabeth, and I'm not sure what her last name is, but she signed this as Elizabeth Queen of Narnia. So she's a fan of all audio dramas, evidently.
Yeah.
But take it away, Elizabeth.
Hello, Audio Theatre Central. I just want to say that this is my favourite podcast that I listen to. Thanks. Oh, and I was wondering how you all decided to make the podcast. Again, thank you so much. I always look forward to listening in every month.
Well, Elizabeth, thank you very much for the call. And to answer the question, it's kind of a complicated story.
How we decided to
launch this podcast. So, do we have the time? Should we take the time to?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Feel free.
It was about 3 years ago, I think, that Roy and Andrew and I were working on another show, a music-related show. And it seemed like anytime they would come over to the studio and we'd start recording or testing equipment or whatever, that we ended up talking about Odyssey or radio theater or whatever. And so it just our discussions always ended up coming around to audio drama and old-time radio and everything. And so one night, whenever they came over to the studio, I said, guys, I've been thinking we should just start a podcast about audio drama. And I remember Andrew, he's like, I was hoping you were going to say that. And so we're like, you know, there are already Odyssey podcasts out there. So let's kind of broaden it up a little bit and talk about all audio dramas, because we love all of these different things. So that's where the concept came from. Then it took a few months to come up with the branding and the website and everything like that.
Right.
And it actually timed perfectly because right at that time, Lamplighter Theater was launching.
Right. I do remember that was really cool.
Yeah, and we got on board with them right away and whatnot. Yep. We're able to work some.
Been working with Mark and John over there and ever since. And so it's been a blast.
It has. Yeah.
Right. It's so fun getting to interact with these people that we've heard their talent our whole lives, you know, like getting to talk to Jave Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've heard Jimmy Barkley ever since I was just a kid, you know, it's awesome. And getting to talk to the people behind the scenes, that's really awesome. So it's a great opportunity. I'm really glad that we started this. It's so cool.
Yeah.
It is so fun. And we want to thank you guys for listening, because I think in the beginning it was more of just because we wanted to do it, because we wanted to get together and talk about this stuff. And then the people are actually listening. I mean, it just makes it all worthwhile. And getting cool emails and voicemails like this, it just makes it all worthwhile. So thank you very much, Elizabeth, for the call.
She kind of sounded like Sue.
Yeah. The sewer rat.
Hey, whoa, making people mad again.
What else we got here, Andrew?
Well, we have an email from Michael, who this is also in reference to episode 28. And he says, hello, Michael here, your very loyal fan. He writes in quite often. Just heard your program and thought I would explain how to use tunein.com to listen to radio drama. He will definitely go on to explain that. We have that all in the show notes for you.
Yes. So he goes into detail on how he does it. So, because he mentioned that in his last email, that's how he found, or he listens to Paws and Tails. And so he wrote in to clarify that. So yeah, we'll put that in the show notes. If anybody has that app on your phone, tune in. It's a great app. I've actually purchased the full version to unlock all of the features and everything on my phone. And so, yeah, and I tried it. Works really well. I listened to Paws and Tails on there. So we'll have all of that. It's in the show notes. Lastly, we have an iTunes review from the Canadian iTunes store just a few days ago in January from the username Be Joyful. Just the letter B, you know, not B-E.
Right.
Just Be Joyful.
It's more,
Be Joyful.
More clever than
Be Joyful.
Yeah. So
Be Joyous.
Be Joyous, yeah.
Very simple. It was 5 stars, which is cool.
Yeah. Hey.
But it just said, love the podcast, keep it up, with 3 exclamation points, which perfect. I like.
Yeah, that's great.
Man. More exclamation points, the better.
Yeah,
absolutely. Definitely. And they said they are listening from NL Canada. What is NL?
I never heard that kind of phone or anything like that. Never heard a phone.
No. I'm thinking that's the province or something.
No idea.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Northland. New land. No land.
I don't know. Anyway, from Canada.
Newfoundland.
So thank you very
Newfoundland.
Much.
Newfoundland. Yes.
And you know what? We have quite a few listeners in the UK and Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we have no iTunes reviews in the iTunes stores for those countries. So you listeners out there, please review us in iTunes. We'd love that because that helps us rise in the rankings and it helps more people discover the show. So
exactly.
By the way, I just noticed this is if you search audio theater in iTunes in the podcast section, in at least in the U.S. store, we are at the top. So
that's pretty cool.
Kudos.
Also, NL does stand for Newfoundland.
Oh, okay.
Newfoundland and Labrador actually is what it stands for.
There's our amazing research team at their finance right there.
They helped us out last episode,
too.
They
are just so quick. I'm telling you.
Man.
As Witt called Matthew and Emily, the crack research team.
Yes.
They are on the job.
Oh.
Well, we did say we had an announcement, and that is that we've decided we are going to start our own audio drama awards program. So it's not going to be like the Avery's where that only focuses on Odyssey, but we're going to put together a team and every year we're going to go through all of the major productions from the previous year, and we're going to nominate certain actors and scripts and productions in various categories for awards. And this is going to be legit. I mean, we're going to get on board with the industry people, and so it's going to be a big undertaking, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And our whole purpose for doing that is just to try to make more people aware of this world of audio drama that's out here. And there's so much good content that these people are producing, and so it would really be awesome to get more people aware. I mean, in Britain, audio drama is still very large, but in the U.S., a lot of people don't really even know that it exists.
Right.
Like, sometimes I try to tell people what the show is about, and they don't understand. So our whole purpose is to try to get this out. So if you have any suggestions on what to name this program, we would love for you to let us know. Send in feedback. Let us know what you think. And we would love to get some ideas, because we're still working on that, still trying to come up with all of the categories and everything. Still very much in the development phase, but it will be – we'll have it all done within the next few months, and we'll start with everything that's been produced in 2013. So if we have any producers out there that are working on programs, definitely submit your stuff to us, and we'll be given more detail on that as it unfolds. So many ways that you can contact us. First and foremost, our website, audiotheatercentral.com. You can go audiotheatercentral.com/29 for the show notes for this episode.
Or you can send us an email at feedback@audiotheatercentral.com.
That is true. Any of those ways is definitely available, and I don't see a phone number, or else I would give it.
You don't know it.
No, I don't know it.
Phone number is 623-688-2770. You can call or text to that number. And subscribe to the show in iTunes or through your favorite podcatcher software, because that lets us know there's more people out there. So you can also subscribe in Stitcher if you have that app on your Android, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Notice the order there.
The order, yes. I did notice that. Yeah. I am very offended that you put us behind the BlackBerry. That's absolutely ridiculous.
So you can also leave a comment on the show notes. We always like to get that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Any final words, guys?
Final
word.
All right, that works. We know this has been a little bit longer than usual, but we hope you stick with us. We'll see you again next time, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Audio Theater Central is a production of Radio CSS Media. RadioCSS.com.
I think it's been long enough. Do we need to give them any bonus content?
Nah.
You don't have a joke?
No jokes.
Goodbye.
Fresh out.